Sportsnet today. Listen on the air, online, on the Sportsnet app, and always on your smart speaker. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
2 hours of Sportsnet today coming your way, leading up to the big show. Logan Gordon, Riley Pollock along with you from the Iconic Studios, powered by Iconic Electric and Controls. The Calgary Flames. 4 straight victories. They do it at home last night. They do it against the Western Conference opponent. All of the remaining narratives of the butts and the, I don't know, maybe this. Yeah, they won, but they haven't won at home very much. I stopped beating the Western Conference. Okay, well, that's done now. They beat the Chicago Blackhawks 5-2. A back-and-forth affair at the Dome that saw the Flames have leads of 1-0 and 2-1 disappear. Bunch of weird goals mixed in there. Marc-Andre Fleury seemingly loses his net, Riley, on the Dubé one. That's my best guess on that one.
Yeah, that was an interesting one, but it's good for Dylan Dubé. He hasn't scored in a while, so hopefully that gets the ball rolling for him a little bit more. But yeah, tough one for Fleury to let in.
I don't know what he's doing there. I know everyone's always caught sleeping. I think he just lost his net. That was the best way I could put it. But they don't ask how, they ask how many. And Dubé now with 2 on the season from Anderson and Hanifin. Milan Lucic continues to chip in secondary offense. His 5th of the season already, Riley. Puts it up top, gives the Flames a lead heading into the second period. Admittedly, a mistake from Jacob Markstrom. Playing the puck in that situation leads to Reese Johnson's first career NHL goal. And yeah, was it sloppy? Was there a bit of fatigue? Was it perfect? No. It wasn't any of those things, but they don't need to be Picasso's. They don't need to be perfect. You came off a grueling road trip with 2 back-to-backs, lots of hockey in a short period of time, and didn't have much of a... You had 1 day in between getting back from Boston and playing the Chicago Blackhawks. All the words we used yesterday, Riley, were trap game, a game you can overlook, opponent you can overlook, don't play down to them, don't think about the 3 days rest coming your way. They didn't do those things. And I'll tell you this, this team does not cheat you on effort. They don't. I said, was it sloppy? Was it not perfect hockey? Yeah, but I think they tried. I think they worked their tails off again. And I think you can appreciate that after the long road trip they've been on. So was it perfect? Were there things that they'd like to improve on? Absolutely. But you got the 2 points. You got the 2 at the end of the day, and now you can enjoy this break and enjoy that you walk in today on top of the Pacific Division and on top of the Western Conference with a 12-3-5 record.
Yeah, we talked about it not being a letdown game. They find a way to get 2 points at the end of, 9-15? Perfect. Get the 2 points, take your 3 days break.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be more than that. I know that, you know, expectations rise and there's always this, you know, standard of perfection and they gotta do all this and they gotta do all that. I think it's just sometimes you just have to be happy with the 2. And look, how many times this year, Riley, were we talking about they didn't pick up the 2? We've talked about that enough this year. Who cares what it looks like? You got the job done. I think the talk last night is gonna be about that 4th line. Milan Lucic, Brad Richardson, Trevor Lewis. Played a strong, heavy game for the team. Made their minutes count. Chip in with some offense. And everybody talking, and without surprise, Riley, everybody talking about the Milan Lucic effort late in the game to help Trevor Lewis make sure that that empty netter goes in. Sort of a, you know, the team effort thing, the team guy. I think all of those things that Milan Lucic encapsulates. We'll hear from Milan and some of the other members of this Calgary Flames team a little bit later. Peter Lombardi is going to join us at 1 o'clock today. Moving times around a little bit. We'll dive into this Calgary Flames win with him just after 1 o'clock. Get you some Flames game day audio a little bit, post-game audio, I should say, coming up in the next segment as well. So a big win for the Flames, 5-2 over the Blackhawks. They've won 4 in a row. Off day today, back at practice on Thursday. Get set for the Winnipeg Jets Saturday night for Hockey Night in Canada from the Scotiabank Saddle. It's a good weekend for Calgary sports, Riley.
Sure is. There's a lot going on this weekend, Logo.
Yes. Saturday night, you can be at the Dome. I believe it's 90s night at the Dome.
Well, there you go. That was when we were born.
Yep. And that's when Pat Steinberg's music taste peaked as well. So you got that. And then Sunday.
It's a doubleheader, Logo, here in Calgary.
Yes. CFL playoffs, NFL Sunday.
Connor Bedard in town to take on the Hitmen at 11 in the morning.
Yep.
I'll be there. Don't you worry about that, Logo. I'm double dipping that day.
We'll continue to preview as we get closer to the West semifinal on Sunday. We'll have Danny Austin from Post Media join us tomorrow. And we'll also have Luke Mullender on Friday getting us set from a rider's set of eyes. Going to be interesting. This is a big matchup, I think, for both of these teams coming up on Sunday. The Stamps, I think, still with that underdog label on them, Riley, but this is a pretty dangerous underdog when you talk about now with the likes of Reggie Bagleton in the mix, Trey Roberson added to a defense that was already very difficult to play against. And I think the Riders still with something to prove with Cody Fajardo under center.
I'm fully 50-50 on this game. I have no idea who's going to win. I think they're very even. Two good defenses, two offenses that, you know, kind of come and go. Two running backs that can take over games if the OCs decide to give them the football. It's so hard to predict. I actually have the Stamps winning in my predictions.
Good to know. I'm just going to write that one down. I'll make sure to mention that to Luke. As well, when we talked to him on Friday, that you got the Stamps. And look, the Stamps have had success against the Riders. The Riders did pick up a win against them, but I think this is one of the best rivalry in sports, in the CFL for sure. And you mentioned the weather's going to be good at Mosaic. Fingers crossed, that can change in a heartbeat. But looking forward to this one. And as always, it's a battle of the brothers. The head coaches, Craig and Dave Dickinson. Craig finally got one, Riley. Finally beat his little brother. And I think there's always probably family bragging rights when it comes to that sort of stuff. I'll be curious. And, you know, they'll never play it up too much because they're serious. You know, they're professionals. I think they're both great coaches. But I always love that aspect of it because it's just something you don't see that often. Brothers against each other in head coaching and, you know, they're not really facing each other, but strategically, I think that's a big part of it. Sure, you know tendencies of each other. I love that aspect of it. And we're lucky enough here at the station that Dave Dickinson, the head coach of the Calgary Stampeders, joins the morning show on occasion to give them a little update on what's going on with the team. Dave did so this morning ahead of the West semifinal to get the boys in the morning and you, the listeners, all revved up and ready to go for Sunday. We're going to replay that now. Here's Dave Dickinson with the morning show, Boomer Pinder and Rhett Warner from a little earlier today.
Wednesday, at roughly this time, we catch up with the head coach of the Calgary Stampeders, Dave Dickinson. David, good morning.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Well, thanks for being here as always. We love catching up with you. So this season, as far as the regular season, it has come and gone. Now, all with a fully honest, did you feel like we were going to get here? Because there was a time, is there going to be a season? How many games can you play? Are you really going to go that late? Were you confident, or was there times where you wondered, are we really going to get this in?
I was pretty confident. I feel like we had a lot of time to kind of make a plan, and I think everyone was on board that we needed to have a season and we wanted to make the best of it, and we would do whatever it takes flexibility-wise, whatever they require of us. We were willing to do it, and we wanted to do it. And like I said, it's been different. It's been kind of a crazy year, but still a lot of fun, and enjoyed the process, and also enjoyed playing a little bit better. So to me, yeah, I wasn't sure, like you said, how it would go. I wasn't sure how many hiccups we'd have. I think we've done a pretty dang good job. I mean, you haven't heard near the cases in the CFL like you have in the NFL. I mean, they got guys everywhere going down. And I feel like our guys either have bought in, or Canada's doing a better job at keeping it under wraps.
Well, and I don't know if that's it. I was going to ask you about the discipline that, obviously, with that being the case, it's on the players. You can preach and rant and rave, but still, when they leave the stadium, it's on them to isolate or do whatever they have to do. So credit to the players, right?
Big time, you know, and all of our Tier 1 staff. I mean, because you got families and all that business, too. I mean, I was a little worried with, you know, like myself, when my kids are back to school and all that sort of stuff. I mean, yeah, I can self-isolate, but I definitely want to still hang out with them, and they're going to be around a lot of people. And you could do everything right and still get it. We understand that. But I do agree. We've really, the sacrifice is there. I like to call it an investment, because they've put a lot into this, and now the playoffs in this time of year is where you get your investment, you get your return on your investment. So hopefully we can keep it going. And to me, that's what I'm going to talk to the guys this morning about, is be locked in, do everything right. Essentially, at the most we have is 19 days, and let's make sure we lock in.
Well, I don't want to go any further. Congratulations on winning the Chevrier sweepstakes last week. I know he's a Quebec guy. I thought maybe the Alouettes would be in there, but no, well done in securing his services.
We thought you guys were a little light on, like, media content.
Yeah.
We know Chevy. He usually shies away from the media, though. He doesn't like to do a lot of media. Oh. He's very quiet. He's a guy that it's hard to get any quotes out of.
That's
very
right.
Difficult.
Yeah.
But I'll do my best to open him up for you guys. And he's out there today. I mean, it'll be, to be honest, I enjoy having Chevy around. Good energy, good person. And he's clutch. If we need him, I believe he can do the job and do it well.
Yeah, he's going to be like a young stallion when he gets out of the pen for the first time. It'll be all just legs and flopping around
just
and making noise.
Like,
you won't miss him out there. He'll be easy to find.
I don't want him to be jumping around and doing all the other stuff. I want him to make sure he's healthy when we need him. So just put the ball down, look between your legs, and rip it. That's about all we need.
But you're right now, because Warner's here. We were when the news came down. When did he retire? I think in 2017. How old is he? Well, he's a few months younger than you, Red, or older than Red. But you don't just learn how to be a long snapper without putting in a ton of work. It takes years to get good at it. Now, is there any concern? Like, did you bring him out to see if he can still do it?
We did, but we also signed a guy we had in camp named Ben Whitting. And
yeah.
So we basically kind of living on the edge with Aaron Crawford, who, by the way, has just been outstanding. Aaron's a Medicine Hat guy. I got to give him props. That's where my wife's from. And I really think Aaron Crawford has made our team a lot better this year, because his timing on his snaps is just perfect. But we've been kind of holding on. We thought Corey Greenwood would get healthy, and he hasn't. So you just can't go into a playoff week one injury away from being a catastrophe. So we thought, well, who can we get? And there was a lot of dudes on the street at one point in the season, and all of them had been signed. And so we brought Chevy in, and we worked him out. And, you know, I think he could do it. And we brought Ben back as well and let them snap. It's just, it's kind of crazy, and I'm with you. I'd rather talk about, you know, more about the season and all that, but we knew by signing Chevy this is the way it would go. But it is just a practice roster position that it gives us flexibility if Aaron goes down or gets injured, that we will have a guy in there that we can trust. And Ben's a young guy that I think can do it as well, but sometimes you always lean on your vets, especially in playoff time.
Yeah, with that in mind, so back to Chevy. So I'm curious, who – so he comes out – Is Huff there? Who's all involved? And maybe who's pro Chevy and who's needing some convincing on?
We're all pro Chevy. Yeah. We're all pro Chevy Huff. But it was, you know, we had this, a few scouts out there, which is Cole Huffnagel and Brendan Mahoney, and then obviously Mark Killam, and that's kind of, you know, Mark, and then we have to get together, obviously. Even in this time, though, with the protocols and all that, you have to be, you know, he's a local guy, which is good. But we just kind of wanted to see, like you said, how he looked and how he could rip it back there. Yeah. And I think it was pretty informal. But, yeah, it was, for me, I think insurance, right? And then also sure. Just a good person, good hard worker. And, you know, I don't know if he knows any of the guys. We've changed. I bet he doesn't. I probably knows about four guys. He knows Renee. I know that. So that's good.
That's right. He and Renee would know each other for sure.
Good guy for him to know.
Yeah. So let's go back. You wrap the season on Saturday against Winnipeg. It's one of those games. Is there much that you, what do you look for? Do you look for guys playing to the final whistle? Are you just, please don't get hurt? What were you hoping to get out of that game, and did you get it?
I did want to win, so we got that. You're probably going to ask me how, but we did. And that was important to me, partially because I was kind of preaching on, you know, Winnipeg has been setting records all year about fourth quarter scoring. And I did tell them, I did think, guys, we need to make a statement and we got to win the fourth quarter. And if we do that, I think we'll win the game. Now, I didn't think it would go quite like it did. But you're right, it's a tough game to – you can't play sports or professional sports or anything if you're not all 100% invested. And I think we were trying, but I just don't know if you can manufacture that same emotion. Now, some of the other guys on our team that were kind of first game and trying to make a name for themselves, I did think they played well. But it was the veteran guys, the guys that had been here a while, that just couldn't find that same spark. And Winnipeg had it. I mean, they did. You know, they had kind of rested all their dudes the week before. And you could see their performance week before, whereas this game they played Willie, they played Biggie, they played Zach, played Lawler, they played their guys. And ultimately we were certainly in a position that did not look good and somehow found a way to win. So I'll still take the win. We're not jumping up and down over here for joy, but we understand that's what it is. But a win over that team is still, for me, something that you can be proud of.
Now, is there ever a situation where last game of the season – you reach out to the other coach, you know, but hey, Mike O'Shea, here, what are you going to do here? You want to do this? We'll do that. Do you know what I mean?
But I don't do it. I don't even talk to my brother. So preseason or otherwise, You can do what you want to do with your team. I'm going to do what I do with my team. I get it. But to me, this is the truth too. I don't take any game for granted, preseason or otherwise. I know there's fans out there that are paying money, and I'm going to try to do my best job, and I expect the players to do that the same. Are you gonna run a triple reverse flea flicker that you think probably has a great chance to work that potentially in the playoffs? No, you're not doing that. But you are going to try to play good sound football, and you want to play good football. Just like you said, that was a cool game, by the way. I don't know. I think that had took a little bit of bite out of some of our guys, and that's a good, to me, that was a good game to get used to what should be the case for playoff football. It's going to be cold. You're going to have to dig deep, and you're going to have to find a way to win the fourth quarter.
So how do you feel? How are you as far as where you are health-wise? You moved some guys in and out, and guys got a chance to play. Then you can take a breath here before you go in on Sunday. How are you health-wise?
We're pretty good. I mean, we lost Rock. Rock Thomas, our running back, he ACL'd out on his knee, which was too bad. I mean, he was a guy we expected to get 15, 20 touches, and I think it happened on his third touch, so that was a big loss. And we had a few minor things. But overall, I think we did what we wanted to do. You know, we rested certain guys that I didn't feel I had the guy in-house to replace, you know, meaning like Kadeem Carey, sure, Mike Rose, those type of guys. I just felt like I have to have them for the playoffs, and we'll hope that rest pays off with a little bit extra jump and a little bit extra energy this week.
So it is your brother, and you've established you will not talk. When's the last time you talked to him, and when's the next time you'll talk to him?
I mean, I should watch. I don't talk to him and say, hey, take it easy on us or something like that. I just, even in preseason, I mean, we talked more about family and is what the heck's my dad doing and is my mom feeling all right and stuff like that. We don't get into football too much, or we do sometimes. I asked him a question. I said, did you challenge this play last week? Because I watched it on film. And he said, yeah, but then I got this new information and then decided not. And I said, well, let me know if you would have won. So I little tiny stuff like that, just to try to make us, you know, kind of know the league, know the rules a little bit better. But I think to me, I kind of felt like this was in the works from the get-go. I mean, if we were going to make the playoffs, we felt like we were probably the uphill battle. We were going to have to do it on the road, and felt like Winnipeg had ran away with it. So it kind of felt like if we were going to do this, this is how it was going to go. We were going to have to go to Regina first, try to beat the Riders in that environment, and then if we can do that, then obviously get back on a plane and head to Winnipeg. That's kind of in this, what I thought the schedule was going to be for sure ever since we lost that third game to them, because then it put us in a tough spot. So we kept rolling. I mean, I'm really proud of 8-6. I looked back, 1-4, 2-5. I didn't know if we'd even get to 500, but our guys have played better. I think we can do some damage if we can get back to having that confidence and that edge and playing our football.
It was one point I was going to bring up. Because of where you were, you're not a team that loses a couple and then backs in, or maybe you had a shot at home field, then the last week you lose it. This, like you say, it was preordained is probably not the right word, but it was clear that if we play well, this is the goal. It's a little bit different, right? When this is what you're shooting for and then you achieve it?
I mean, I think we were just in survival mode. I mean, we were on the edge of being on the outside looking in, and a lot of questions, a lot of not sures, a lot of guys saying, what the heck is going on? We had a bye week after Hamilton at 2-5, and as coaches and the whole staff, we really hunkered down and said, okay, we can't continue doing what we're doing. It's not working. Where do we need to get better? And what do we need to change? And is it us? Is it players? Is it procedure? And from that point on, though, we were able to change some things, and a lot of it was in-person meetings, and we have become a better team, a team that I think is dangerous. So you're right. Kind of you're preordained, or this is kind of the way we thought best-case scenario is probably just see if we can get in. And if we get in, we'll have to do our work on the road, and that's what's happened.
So as far as Saskatchewan, they lose in the final week, but again, it was they sat a lot of their guys, 24-3. Prior to that, a couple of wins over the Elks, who have had an awful season. There's no other way to put it. Have you been able to glean anything from Saskatchewan here over the last month or so that you'll use going into Sunday?
Well, I mean, we had that three-game stretch against them. It was three games and four for us, but three in a row for them. I think we all know each other. I think we kind of know what they're going to do. They know what we're going to do. There will be wrinkles, there always are, but I kind of feel like, yeah, we're just going to get into one of those battles again. All the games have been kind of in that mid-range, high teens, low 20s, one-score games. Who protects the ball, who can make a big play. Special teams has a huge impact on it. And then poise, discipline to stay out of the penalty box. So to me, those are just, why is it going to change? I doubt it. You never know. Football, yeah. One game never mirrors the next. But we understood. We went over there and played a good game. You know, we turned the ball over a few too many times. We lost a turnover battle by two, and we were still able to come out with a win, handle the noise. Now we're just going to try to go over there and see if we can, you know, clean up a few things, knowing that it'll probably come down to Renee or their kicker and see if we can get that win.
Now, you and your brother have both been a little cheeky. Hey, third down deep in our territory, we're going to go for it. Or are we going to go for it? We're going to fake kick. We're going to, you know, gamble. Do you anticipate, because I know you're not going to show your hand, do you feel like your brother will be as eager to throw out some gadget plays or the trickery, being that it's a playoff game, or do you kind of keep it close to your vest?
I think you go with, you shoot all your bullets. I think you take every shot you need. You know, I think both of us, you know, we do play three down football, which makes it very difficult to stay consistent. If you can get into a groove and get rolling offensively, sometimes you got to make some of those third downs, especially in that situation where, I mean, I think both of us, once you cross midfield, if you go for it and you don't get it, it's sometimes not necessarily that bad. I mean, you still got a long field to go, and it takes multiple first downs for them to get into scoring range. So, and I think that's how your guys kind of respond to confidence. If you have confidence in them, you say, I believe in you, we're going to do it. And for the most part of this year for us, it's worked. I mean, I think we've been super good on third down and third down and threes, third down and fours. I mean, we missed one in BC in third and two, Brad Chicken. That's the only one that recently in my memory that stands out. And yet our defense stood up and we got the ball back and ended up having a great game. So I think when you call trick plays, you hope for a good result, but you also don't want a disaster. And we did that the last time we played them. We called a flea flicker, and it wasn't clean. And then we ended up throwing a pick that goes down and returned to our eight. So when you do those type of things, you always question what the heck was that. So as players, they got to understand, I'm willing to play an aggressive call. I'm willing to do this. But it can't turn into a disaster if it's a sack or it's an incomplete. Live with it. Same with all the trick plays, reverses, and we've done double passes. We've done lots of things, and most of them have worked. But when they're not there and the team doesn't take the bait, let's just make sure we finish that next play with the ball, and we can move on from there.
Do you play fantasy football of any kind?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I play fantasy hockey of Warner there. I got my two flames. I got Johnny and Lindholm, and they're killing it. I am a homer. I like to pick guys that I like, whether or not. And ultimately, sometimes that can sour you if they don't have a good year. I never picked Warner. I kept you on the bench.
My dad didn't pick me, Dave. It cost him.
We just do points, though, man. If we just, if we had some other stats in the hockey pool, I probably would have looked at you a little harder. But just points was a tough one for me to jump on board with you.
My dad picked John LeClair one year. And he was
LeClair,
a
good American boy.
Yeah, and he was hurt with a bad back, so he didn't put up any points. Yeah, your son put up 19, Doug. Sorry, he'd have won the league if he'd have just picked his own son.
Yeah, that's and I bet if I'm right, he'll never pick LeClair again. Because once you pick a guy and they have a bad year, you can't do it. You can't even look at him. They show up in the building and you're like, you cost me, man. You cost me big time.
That's you're Kenny like Gullivan. Me, though, probably, because I always pick, like, in that fantasy football, I got to go with my Bills. So I end up picking all Bills guys, and then I get mad at them if they don't do good. Then I'm mad at my team, and it's not the best strategy.
I will say the other thing, it really does change whether or not you how you watch a game. And let's say you like the Bills, but you got Diggs going, and they throw it over there to Emmanuel Sanders, and you're like, God dang it. Diggs is open, and they scored a touchdown. You're like, come on. And then I know my wife's like, you got to stop this. This is really not important. For a couple hundred bucks, you're this into it.
Too much.
So if that's not enough, the couple hundred bucks, we added another layer this year. When any of us on the morning show are playing each other, the margin of victory has to be eaten in nuggets by the loser.
Ooh,
so I lost by 43 to Matt last week.
Ooh, you're going to be throwing up, my man. That's good, especially, that's a tough one there.
So how many nuggets would you have consumed, let's say, one meal, one sitting? How many is Dave Dickinson going to house?
First off, it better not be McDonald's chicken nuggets. Those don't get eaten by this guy. I'm already heavy enough. I like chicken nuggets or chicken like that. Wings, you should go to Wings. See, Wings is a little better. I definitely think Wings would have been a better deal on that. Myself, I'm not going to pass, I don't know, I don't think I've ever been more than in the 20s. Now, Corey Mace on the other side,
That's
some finger licking good. That guy, that guy is going to eat some wings. So, I don't know. What you have is 43, though. That, to me, is getting into that. What's that hot dog eating guy?
Joey Chestnut.
Chestnut,
that's
yeah.
That boy, yeah.
You're starting to really get into that mode there with 43.
Well, Warner, very brash on the radio, said the other day, because being from Saskatchewan, and now you're playing, it's like you and Rhett have the chicken nugget.
You have the nugget bet.
So
margin of victory
next
you
week.
Have a bet, Dave?
Yeah. Huh? Next week, we'll on our Wednesday chat, the loser will have to eat some nuggets.
Yen?
Send them over. It's COVID-free, though. So make sure you clean them up before they get over here.
45-0 would sound good. Hey, make retro earn it, right?
Oh,
that's right.
Hard on.
Yeah, let's go Wings, man. Let's go Wings.
All right.
That works better for me.
I'll do Wings.
I figured you would.
I've lived in Buffalo. I could follow in Mace's footsteps.
I believe it.
Or we could just go out sometime when the season's over and just have some wings and maybe visit like normal humans.
Yeah, I'm going. When the year's over, I'm definitely going to go check out a Flames game, and I'm going to I'm going to do something. I haven't. I feel like, yeah, definitely been in the bubble and have to do it. Yes, players, but boy, I want to make sure I reacquaint myself with the world pretty soon.
And I'll tell you what, if anything happens with Rhett, with a chicken wing bet or a nugget bet, he won't forget, because the I had 19 more points than John LeClair season was literally 20 years ago. It was 2000-2001, and he's still bringing it up to his old man. So go win is what I'm telling you, Dave. Go to Regina and win and do it for all of us.
I'll do my best. That's a plan. All right, guys.
Thanks, David.
Great. See you guys.
There you go. Stampeders head coach Dave Dickinson joining the morning show. His team getting set to take on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. 2:30 kickoff on Sunday afternoon against the Riders in Regina. Should be a good one. We'll have coverage, both sides of it, coming up here on the next 2 days of Sportsnet Today. Danny Austin from Post Media going to join us tomorrow. Luke Mullender going to join us on Friday. I know that there's a... I would say a good percentage of Riders fans in Calgary, Riley.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So I imagine that they'll be interested to hear what Luke has to say. We'll bring that up with him on Friday as we get you set for the Stamps and the Riders. Semifinal action coming up on Sunday.
And he's like the greatest dude ever, so even if you don't like the Riders, I'm sure you'll enjoy talking to him.
There you go. Yeah, former CFLer, he's got plenty of experience. We'll pick his brain coming up on Friday. Let's take a break on the program. Come back on the other side with some Flames post-game audio following their win last night against the Chicago Blackhawks. We'll hear from head coach Daryl Sutter, Milan Lucic, Matthew Tkachuk, and Kale McLean coming your way next when Sportsnet Today returns on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Back to Sportsnet Today on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, make it four straight for the Calgary Flames. After a 5-2 victory against the Chicago Blackhawks last night, Jacob Markstrom picks up the win. Flames outshoot the Blackhawks 39-21. Only take the one penalty in the game. One minor penalty, I should say. Coleman did get in that scrap with Doc. Not the prettiest game, Riley, but they got it done. We talked about that a bit in the first segment before we heard Dave Dickinson, and talked about fatigue being an issue for this team. They've played a lot of hockey the last couple of weeks and now really going to use these next couple of days to their advantage to get set for the Winnipeg Jets coming up on Saturday night. Then Pittsburgh coming into town on Monday. Daryl said last night, the head coach saying the team will be back at practice on Thursday. Late one Saturday, so you're not as pressed for time. Sleep in a bit, skate a little bit later, all of that. So the Flames, I think, deserving of this break, Riley. I think we all kind of wondered last night, what's Daryl's message to the group if they, you know, don't show up necessarily last night? Is it a case of, okay, we're jumping back in practice because, you know, look, we didn't bring it last night. Don't have to worry about it. Picked up the win. Enjoy some time off. I'm sure they need it. It was a grueling road trip and right back at it at home now. A couple days off for this group.
Yeah, it's well deserved. They went on a 7-game road trip, the longest of the year. Had a great road trip, got points in 6 of 7, and then come back. And to top it all off, they pick up a win before this break. So, well-deserved rest today. Get right back at her tomorrow and get prepared for Saturday. And hopefully they're a little rejuvenated and give the fans a show on a Saturday night.
Let's head back to the Dome for some post-game reaction last night. Head coach Daryl Sutter talking about the veteran line last night of Milan Lucic, Brad Richardson, Trevor Lewis, pitching in on offense. The play Milan makes late in the game to ensure Trevor Lewis gets credit for his empty netter. But the coach, and you'll hear this throughout this post-game audio that we're going to be playing for you, talks to the media about how his group was able to fight through the fatigue last night and pick up a win against the Blackhawks.
I know you've talked a lot about fatigue here lately. How do you think your team held up tonight as it went on?
There wasn't much left there, was there? You could see it right from the start. You know, there's been games where you're sort of, we've been physically there and not quite sharp mentally, but I think tonight it was, there wasn't much, right? But it was a, you know, it's like we talked about. Those are the ones where you just got to know how to win.
What are those cues to you that they look tired?
Well, pretty obvious. I mean, the bottom line is they are tired.
Yeah.
It's 9 and we're still on. We're gone the whole time in Eastern time zone. You get home in the middle of the night and then have to play this game. Like, it's almost not fair, but give the players credit. I said that before.
Can you give them the next 3 days off?
No, tomorrow off, and then what's tomorrow, Wednesday? Yeah, Thursday we'll practice. And then Saturday's a late game again, so we can be careful Friday.
Given all the wear and tear on your team, was it beneficial for you guys for bench management that there's so few penalties in this game?
Well, they don't take many penalties, and it's something that we've, you know, usually when you get like that, when you're played out, that's when there is, you know, those hooking, holding penalties, and we stayed away from it. It was just the one cross check on Sean. So it's a good thing. It takes, you know, the penalty kills hard on guys too, because we use a lot of top players on it.
Gerald, both their goals came on pretty big giveaways. Is that a sign of maybe fatigue or them just kind of losing focus a little? Or
no, the second goal was, you know, Mark, you know, that's not in the playbook. Like, our goalies don't pass to centermen.
Yeah.
Our goalies give it to defensemen. So, you know, he probably looked up and seen he had time, and he knew he made a mistake.
After that, though, Marstrom, for a guy who wasn't peppered, a lot of pretty important saves in that second period.
There's, and you know, and they're a line rush, odd man rush team the way they play. So you know that's going to be there. And when you're not, you don't have your whole game together, you know there's some of that's coming. So he still had to make, you know, there's some good saves.
In the empty net goal Lewis scored, I think everyone in the building thought Luch was just going to smack it in. But is that almost symbolic how he wanted to leave it for Lewis to get credit for it? The symbolic of the selflessness?
Yep. I think that those, you know, that's a really good line for us. You know, they check and they score and they play the right way. And you know, they thrive on winning and what it, I mean, I think that's why their play, you know, that experience is shining through with guys like that, because they know what it takes to win. And that doesn't bother them who scores or who doesn't. It's just, it's about winning.
And that goes along with, you know, as a player, when a guy wants to make sure Lewis gets credit for it instead of Lucic, the guys all know, and that goes over big in the room.
Darn right. And it's a, you know, Lucic actually, whoever the defenseman was, I think he kind of made sure the defenseman didn't touch it, so the puck went in. So yeah. When you say, yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's very, it just tells you about those guys that won championships, though, too.
And you think that's symbolic of your whole team?
I think it's still filtering through our team, for sure. I think you can see tonight our experience from them older guys is really important, and that, you know, it probably allows Lindy's line to persevere in the end too. You know, like Matthew scores the goal, and it was, you know, there were some plays there tonight that we were just trying to stick with it, and they did stick with it, where maybe in the past or other times they wouldn't. So it tells you that they're learning about it too.
There you go, the head coach of the Calgary Flames, Daryl Sutter, speaking to the media post-game. And I think, Riley, it was clear last night, the group definitely tired, feeling it a bit, but didn't stop their effort. It just, you know, I think led to, I'd say, a sloppier style of game than we're used to.
Yeah, a few more mistakes than what we saw on the road
trip. Yeah, some more
trip.
Giveaways, stuff, you know, but it's hard to blame them. And it's hard to fault them even at the end of the day when they come away with 2 points in the end, because they have played a lot of hockey. They have gone through the Eastern time zone and then back. They only had the day in between coming back from Boston and then playing Chicago last night. It's something that comes and goes with an NHL schedule. But, you know, like Daryl said, there's enough guys in that locker room that have been through it. That fourth line, certainly one of them, when you think about, you know, look, it's part of the NHL schedule. You can't, 2 points is still on the line. You can't let it slip through your fingers. And maybe that is some of that maturity coming in. Maybe that's where that leadership that he values so much, and we know he values, from a Lucic, from a Richardson, from a Lewis. Maybe that's where you really see it go. And those guys had a great night last night. I don't want to take away from that. But I think there's something to be said about the value that they had with maybe the rest of the group, like Daryl mentioned.
Yeah, and I think we look back to last year, and we were talking about bringing in depth forwards, and it just didn't seem like they brought in the right depth last year, Logo. This year, they go with a more Daryl style of strategy, those gritty veterans that have won a couple Stanley Cups, and it really does seem like the locker room has changed a little bit more selfless, and these guys are playing for each other, and it's been fun to watch. Again, no bad efforts yet this year. Sloppy, yes. Tired, yes. But they still try their very best with what they have left in the tank.
Two of the goal scorers from last night, Milan Lucic and Matthew Tkachuk, also doing the rounds on the media. Of course, Lucic getting lots of questions after he scores the goal. The play he makes that Eric Francis mentioned to ensure Lewis's empty netter goes in. And of course, you know, Matthew Tkachuk, maybe not in the style that we're used to seeing him. He usually makes a lot more noise in other ways, but quietly a pretty good year for Matthew. He picks up his 9th of the season last night, really clicking with that first line of Elias Lindholm and Johnny Gaudreau. He had plenty of credit for Milan Lucic in that fourth line last night in the victory. Here is Milan Lucic and Matthew Tkachuk postgame from the Dome.
I'm fascinated with the empty net goal. Was your intention to knock it in the empty net, or all along are you just hoping you can make sure that it's Trevor's goal?
I was kind of a bit of a curler on that one, a sweeper or whatever, just to make sure it was going in. Yeah, and you knew one of their guys was coming back, but yeah, it's just what I saw it was going in. Just wanted to make sure it was going in, and I just wanted to make sure it went in for him. He told me that I should have put it in, but you know, it was going in for him. So yeah, it was a big goal. Obviously, those 5-on-6 situations, not letting the Hawks set up in our zone and kind of breaking them down and getting that empty netter was big for us tonight.
Matthew, can you talk a little bit about the role that line played tonight?
Yeah, they were great. Big goal for us in the first when it was 1-1 and they were having some momentum from their tying goal, and they got it pretty shortly after. I feel like they made it. I feel like it was pretty short after, but got us momentum back right away when we needed it. And then just throughout the night played very solid for us and, put it away for us, which is, I think people don't realize how big those goals are. And when we have a chance to put a team away when their goalies put it in, and they did. So I know past couple of years it seems like we never get those and keep teams in it till the very end. Stresses us out a little bit, but today that they did a great job of ending it for us too.
Just overall on your line, Daryl was just in here talking about how maybe it was a night that things weren't bouncing necessarily your way all night. Just talk about your line and I guess leading to your goal, how you kind of just stuck with it.
Yeah, you said it right there. Just try to stay with it. I don't know if we had our best stuff tonight necessarily with creating, and they did a solid job against us. Had some chances, but it's mainly one and duns, and they were smart with the puck lines we played against, and hemmed us in our zone a few times, and that one line got one on us in the second too, so we wanted to get one back there.
Well, I think it's 9 games in 15 days, 20 and 39. Does it feel like it at this point?
Yeah, definitely. I think I speak for everyone, especially that flight home Sunday after the Boston game. I don't think anyone was in bed until 3:34 in the morning. It was probably the toughest stretch of our schedule, playing 9 games in 15 days, you know, starting in Calgary, ending in Calgary. So it just felt like one big, long road trip. But I think we did a good job of managing our energy, managing our rest, being fresh in all 9 games. You know, you look at all 9 games, we were in all of them. which is a great feeling as a team, and to get 5 wins and what 12 points out of all that, it's a good sign for the team.
Players like to play games, but how nice is it going to be to have a couple of days of practice before you have to get back out there for one?
Yeah, well, I think it's not sure what we have planned, but definitely a practice sprinkled in there with 3 days off, and just excited to watch football on Thursday. That's kind of where my mind's at right now. Don't need to take a little mental break after all this for a couple of days, and everybody will do the exact same, and once Friday hits, we'll focus our attention on Saturday's game. So I think these 3 days, we haven't had this since we started late, I think. I don't even know anymore. So we're excited to have this. Big day for us Americans on Thursday. So enjoy that and just come back ready to go for Saturday.
Seek out some turkey?
Yes, absolutely. Yep, that. Some pumpkin pie and some football. Pretty much it. Maybe a glass of wine in there as well.
Oh, yeah.
Is finding a way to win when you don't have your A game maybe something this team has been kind of guilty of not doing in previous seasons? Is that something that was kind of a positive out of this game tonight?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, just looking back to last year, I think that we would have maybe been tied 2-2 late in the third and probably given one up the way last year went. It seemed like we gave up leads – or we gave up – points like that all the time last year. So this year to be on the other side so far, and I mean, even we haven't really been on that side so far. We had a couple games last homestand where we gave away points and didn't get the extra one in OT. So I think tonight, first game back for this 3-game homestand, it's nice to really grind this one out when we definitely were battling kind of all over both countries the last few weeks, and like we said, getting in really late the other night, and I think we were looking at these 3 days coming up in the first 20 games is like one big part of the year, and I think we're pretty happy with where we're at after these first 20 games.
On that same note, Matthew, I know in the preseason and the training camp, you were one of the ones that, you've been here for a while, you talked about never really having a strong start. I know for a lot of people, American Thanksgiving, if you're in a playoff spot, it's a good indication of how the rest of the year goes. Just looking back on those 20 games, how do you sum it up?
Yeah. We're in a good spot right now, top of the division, but since I've been here, we haven't had a good start, and then followed that up with a good stretch till Christmas, so hopefully we can do that now.
There you go, Milan Lucic and Matthew Tkachuk post-game from the Saddle Dome last night, and I think the point out of all of that, Riley, that sticks out to me the most is probably, I think, the second last question to Matthew about this team specifically closing games out and finding a way to win when they're not at their best. Because you're not going to be at 100% every single night. And I don't think that they were last night because they were tired and it's been a very long stretch. I thought the effort was still there, but I don't think anybody would look at that last night and say that was the best Calgary Flames. But they found a way to win. They found the goal in the third period, put it away with a couple of empty netters, played really strong down the stretch, and found it when they needed to. And I think that's an important thing to learn. I think it's a valuable thing for this team to understand how to do, because, and I think Matthew Tkachuk was honest and on the point when he said, last year they didn't do that. And it's not only last year, it's been a couple of years. This team really struggled in that spot. If they didn't have it from, you know, minute one, they probably weren't winning the hockey game. You know, but why, when you look at it in reality, why wouldn't they? They had every opportunity to win that game. It was 2-2 heading to the third period. There's no reason they couldn't have won that game. I think it's a good sign that this team is starting to do some of those. I think it's a sign of maturity. I also think it's a sign of a team that's learning how to win.
Absolutely. And I enjoy listening to these press conferences this year. You know, last year it seemed every press conference was sad or grumpy or angry. These guys are loose. Even Daryl, you know, the past 2 days has been more loose with the media. He's giving longer, more informative answers. It just kind of feels like the culture in that locker room has changed, Logo. And it's spilling out onto the ice as well. You know, it's a 2-2 game. Matthew Tkachuk finds a way to put that puck in the net. I know it's not the most beautiful goal, but then they bear down. They get those two empty netters as well. It's great to see this Flames team still win games when they don't have their A game. Because last year, unless they were playing an A or an A-plus game, they found ways to lose.
Yes, I think that's true. I think that's absolutely true. It's more often than not, they found the wrong side of that. This year, they found the right side of it, and I think that that's not a accident. I think it's definitely one of those things that, you know, is proof of Daryl's system, the way that he runs things in his locker room, and the way that, you know, the team is building that confidence. It's important. I think it's a huge step for them going forward, and I think Flames fans can be excited and legitimately, you know, feel like there's growth in this group when you see things like that. I think that's a very good sign for this team going forward, and we'll see how, you know, past the U.S. Thanksgiving mark, they talked about that a bit with Matthew. It's a big indication for some people. I don't think it's the be-all, end-all, but if that's the mark you're going off of as of U.S. Thanksgiving, or at least as of today, the Flames tops of the Pacific Division and tops in the Western Conference. It's a pretty good spot to be in, and you know that Daryl Sutter is happy that his group has put themselves ahead of things when it comes to the start of their season. You never want to chase it, especially with the loser points in the NHL. It makes things so, so difficult. The Flames have done a good job not finding themselves in that position. We'll take a break, come back on the other side. What did Lou make of last night's game against Chicago? We'll pick his brain and see how he's feeling ahead of the Flames' three-day break before they take on the Winnipeg Jets. And how much did he feel the team has grown picking up a win when they didn't have their A game? We'll ask him that and more. Pete Labardius joins the program next here on Sportsnet Today, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Back to Sportsnet Today on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Had to move things around a little bit on the program today. This gentleman usually kicks things off with us at noon, but we moved him back an hour so we could get some business done here at the station. Flames 5-2 winners against the Chicago Blackhawks, now with 3 days off before they welcome in the Winnipeg Jets. How did they do it? How did he see it from the booth? Let's ask Pete Labardius.
Flames Insider, Peter Labardius, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group, now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Peter, been a long time, sir. How are you?
Yeah, you know what? You guys are so unfamiliar to me right now. It's unbelievable.
Could have done this hit pre-taped about 40 minutes ago, but
you know what? We could have, but you guys, you know, both of you really fit the wonderful photo shoot mode today.
Oh,
both of you.
Look, we tried our best. They had hair and makeup to, you know, push us through, and I think just like the Flames, we grinded it out there, Riley.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's a battle to get makeup put on us, but We worked through it. They tried to make us as good looking as possible.
Yeah, well, you know, from this front, I have this ongoing dream, sometimes better than others. Always wanted to look like a Greek god, always have to settle for a damn Greek. You know what I mean?
Oh, I love it. Lou, a big win for the Flames last night. Fourth in a row. It wasn't their A game, but they don't ask how. They ask how many when it's all said and done. And look, for a group that has been on the opposite side of games when they don't always bring their A game, last night a nice, you know, I'd say growing opportunity or moment of growth from the team that, look, was clearly, you know, under it from a fatigue point and played a lot of hockey. But they didn't cheat you on effort. They gave it their all, and they found a way to come out with 2 points last night.
Yeah, Logan, I heard you guys in the last 15, 20 minutes when I've been driving around, and, you know, I don't disagree at all. I was quite impressed by a number of things last night. You knew going in it was going to be challenging. You know, I knew how late they had arrived, you know, into the wee hours of Monday morning, all the other things that go hand-in-hand, even running into, you know, Flames Television's one of my favorite guys, Brendan Parker, and you know, you get home at 3 or 4 in the morning, but guess what? Your kids who haven't seen dad for a couple weeks, they don't care. So there was a lot that went into last night. You're gassed. You've tested a lot and worn out in some cases. But my favorite part of last night was just, and you hear this phrase probably too often, but they stuck with it. And, you know, Jacob made some really good saves at 2-2. They made some plays. They got a fortuitous bounce on Tkachuk's game winner with just under 6 minutes to go. They closed it out really nicely. I like that win. That to me was kind of a character or growing, maturing type of win for this group. So I was really impressed. I really was. I knew Chicago was going to play hard and well, and they'd been playing better. And they did test the Flames for absolute sure. But that was a good sign last night. I quite like that win. Love the Boston win for different reasons, because that was, to me, probably their A-plus game. But, you know, all of a sudden we're talking about games a lot, you know, in a letter formation. That was a B, and the B got it done.
And I think you had it in your notes, and I couldn't agree more. The line that stood out last night for the Flames is the Richardson line, the Sutter line, if you will, of Trevor Lewis, Milan Lucic, and Brad Richardson. And the best way I could put it, Lou, in my words at least, is there's a group of guys that understands what the game is all about, and that you're going to have nights on the schedule like this, and that you can't cheat the system and, you know, not show up just because it's been a long road trip and you've got a couple days rest coming up, because they've been through the grind. They know what it's like to win a championship and what it takes to win. And I thought it shined through last night. I thought they were effective in all areas. They chipped in with some offense. You heard Matthew speaking about it post-game, about what that line brings. And I think that they've been great since they've been put together, but last night was clearly their best as a trio.
You know, I thought they really helped set the tone on Long Island. You know, a big early turnover that Brad Richardson took advantage of. You know, we live in a day and age, and I'm not complaining about it necessarily, but, you know, a lot of our focus goes now in sports on the stars and, you know, the guys that make all the money, and in a lot of cases for good reason. But the thing that I've liked about the construction of this group is you have people who have been there, done that, they've been through it, and more importantly, they've won. So those guys last night gave you 12, 13 minutes of just what I would call a truly veteran professional performance. And it made a huge difference last night. You know, not only did they chip in, but I'm sure you guys noticed, you know, they occupied time against the Dock line and, you know, the Taves line a couple of times and did really, really well, which again, frees some of your other groups for different or in certain cases, better matchups. So I loved their game last night. We've talked a lot even about Trevor Lewis and, you know, how I've really appreciated what I've seen from him, and Richardson will win you faceoffs. And, you know, there was a play last night that I don't know if you guys remember, but it said everything. Do you remember when Trevor Lewis, I think it was in the second period, with basically a diving shot block?
Yes.
When they were under complete duress.
Yeah, one of the times when Chicago got some really good zone time.
Yes. Well, those plays win you hockey games. Those types of plays, selling out like that, yes, it'll show up in a block shot, but it was much bigger at that point in time with Chicago all over them. And those are the little things that make such a difference. And, you know, you certainly don't have to pull Daryl's arm in terms of understanding the value of experience and guys who have been there and done that and won. And here was Daryl about the Richardson line after the game last night?
That's a really good line for us. You know, they check and they score and they play the right way. And you know, they thrive on winning, and I think that's why they're play, you know, that experience is shining through with guys like that, because they know what it takes to win, and that doesn't bother them who scores or who doesn't. It's about winning.
Just about winning, and it's a hard thing to learn. This organization, frankly, hasn't done a lot of it for a long time. And I like so many of the players on this team that have won before, but more importantly, truly understand their roles and what it takes. And it may not, you know, end up in hat tricks and multi-point games, but it sure does help in terms of nights like last night where you're tired, there's not a whole lot left, but that, like I said earlier, the best way I can describe it, that's a really professional effort from that group of veterans. And, you know, Milan Lucic, obviously heard you guys play the clip earlier, just ran a little pick on that rolling puck that ends up, you know, in Trevor Lewis's second goal and second empty netter, but yeah, he wasn't concerned about anything outside of one thing, that puck was going to get in the net. So he shields off Seth Jones 4-2 and pretty much nighty-night. So very selfless. And that's, to me, that's what you need to see more of. And that's what brings groups together.
So, Lou, 20 games into the season now for the Calgary Flames, 12-3-5. The old adage in hockey has always been, you know, right around American Thanksgiving, if you're X amount of points out of it, you know, you've got a pretty long, arduous grind to find yourself back in a playoff spot. Well, the Flames have done themselves some favors early on and don't have to be one of those teams, you know, from the bottom looking up to a potential playoff spot. But I guess really, first of all, where do you come out on the, you know, sort of American Thanksgiving point and what that says about your likelihood for the rest of the season? And I guess just a thought on what this group has been able to accomplish in 20 games, because I don't know a single person, and it goes for us at this radio station too, we're accountable for these sort of things. I don't know if you told me at the quarter pole of the season the Flames would be at the top of the West and the Pacific Division that I would have bought what you were selling.
Logan, I think the Calgary Flames right now are the story of the National Hockey League. And certainly, you know, the most surprising team to everyone. And I think if anybody suggests anything different, they're not telling the truth. But they've built a foundation. We talk about it a lot. You know, Daryl has done an outstanding job in terms of the messaging and getting the most out of people and understanding that, you know, there's a way you have to check and there's a way you have to play for this group to be successful. And they've bought into it. I do think as a result of limited expectations, not from themselves, but from others and other teams about them, I think they surprise people too. I really do. And, you know, last night they score for the first time 16 times. So, you know, that's a big one for me too. Starting on time has been such an issue for this group. And right now it's such a strength. So, you know, they're a terrific story. In terms of your Thanksgiving situation, I'm not opposed to looking at it that way. My thing has always been, Logan, and maybe even more so now, because, you know, the league is just so competitive and it's so difficult to make the playoffs. I almost look at where are you after 40 games? And have you taken care of your business, you know, after the second quarter of the season? But, you know, the Flames have certainly, as I like to talk about, put some quality playoff investment equity in their account. They've played very, very well. And, you know, we get a great opportunity to talk to not just Daryl, but all the coaches, and wanted to let you hear from Cale McLean in terms of his synopsis after the opening quarter of the season.
I think a great evolution from where we were in training camp to where we are now in terms of how we play, the expectation of how we play away from the puck. Some of the elements offensively have grown here over the last, you know, month especially. But I think that the team itself has done a really good job of being a group of guys that is buying into playing a certain type of hockey. And that makes us really hard to beat every night. So it's been a pleasure to work with them thus far. And as I mentioned, the schedule comes fast and furious, and I give them credit for being ready for it every night.
Yeah, I think that just summarizes it perfectly. They have come a long way. Daryl would be the first to tell you they still have a long, long way to go. But, you know, what a great beginning to the season, and they've put themselves in a terrific spot, and it'll be interesting, you know, to see where it goes next.
We're chatting with Peter Labardius here on Sportsnet today as the Flames color analyst and our Flames insider here on the program. I'm Logan Gordon, joined by the sharply dressed today, Riley Palmer.
Oh yeah,
Riley.
No question.
Lou, Dylan Dubé gets the monkey off his back last night, scoring a goal that Marc-Andre Fleury definitely wants back. But do you think that helps him out a little bit mentally? It's been a tough start for him. And do you think that that was maybe the best that line has looked since they've been put together last night?
They did some really good things. Yeah, I'd probably say that it was. You know, I think if you want to focus on one player in particular, there is not any hockey player that, you know, on the road to the NHL who has been an offensive player that doesn't like to score or chip in. So it's, you know, it's been two games in a row that he has a point in. Great to get that one, his first goal since October 28th. In Pittsburgh, so there's no question that it'll give them a little bit of a boost. I mean, those stretches are really, really difficult. And I think, too, you know, we've talked today about what the difference of experience makes. Well, you know, in Dylan's case, and, you know, I think very, very highly of this young man. I absolutely do. But, you know, he's still trying to find his way in the NHL. And I think, you know, experience in going through different situations helps you deal with the natural up and downs and a slump here and a slump there. You know, I think that's very much the case. But when you're a young player, I think, and Dylan's got a great personality. You know, if the one thing about Dylan is, I do think, even though he's only 23, his makeup does allow him to get to a better place, maybe rather than later in terms of other young guys. But, yeah, it'll mean the world to him. You know, he's got points in two straight. You always, no matter what part of a team you are, you always want to feel like you're making a difference and making an impact. So hopefully the last couple, you know, really kickstart him, because there's a lot there, and he's still finding his way.
And I know we've kind of touched on it here, but just how impressed were you that the Flames finished off a 2-2 hockey game the way that they did last night? Their best period of the night was probably the third in terms of scoring chances for and against, and doing all that despite them looking pretty gassed through the first 40 minutes, Lou.
You know, the effort, I heard you say, Riley, earlier that, you know, the effort just about every single night has been really good. The fatigue last night showed in the fact that, you know, I didn't think that they were as crisp. You know, there were some puck decisions and puck management situations that you could tell had some real direct correlation to some fatigue. But as I said off the top, I loved how they handled the game at 2-2. They got stronger. They gave up very little. Jacob Markstrom, there was one stop that he made that, you know, might not show up on a highlight reel, but there was a shot that came from the point at 2-2 that I swear bounced off three different people and forced him to make an excellent right pad save. So even though we've talked about, you know, all the shutouts and the great numbers and the average, I love that game even for Jacob last night, because that one didn't necessarily start the greatest, but when they needed big ones, he made big ones. And when they needed to find another gear, they found another gear. And when they needed to close it out, they did it very well. That win, in a different way, as I said, Riles, right off the top, one of my favorites of the year. It really was.
I guess just a couple from the other side. What did you make of the Blackhawks? I think the top line of Doc, Kane, and DeBrincat was their best. They were able to hem the Flames in a couple of times. But other than that, what did you make of Chicago?
Well, it was nice to watch, you know, a couple of guys I watched quite a bit on the way to the NHL for the first time with my own eyes in a while. I thought Brandon Hagel had a terrific game, the former Red Deer Rebel. It's funny. I remember sitting in a rink in Edmonton watching him play under 18 hockey in Fort Saskatchewan back in early 2012. And at that point, thinking, boy, I think this guy's going to be a good Western Hockey League player. And, well, you know, he helped our country win a gold medal in Latvia and off to a nice start. 6 goals now, so I like watching him. It's neat to see Reese Johnson, who also spent nearly 5 years in Red Deer. It's from Saskatoon. Score a goal, add an assist, and they played hard. They played hard. I can understand why they've won 5 of their last now 7. They played their tails off. So I liked what I saw, and I think they're only going to get better. I really do.
So now 3 days for the Flames in between games. They haven't had a break like this pretty much since the start of the season. Darryl said they'll be back at practice on Thursday. I guess just from watching hockey and being around the schedule, Lou, as much as it is, I guess this is just a, I don't want to say a reset for the team, but maybe a refresh for the group. I think Matthew said it perfectly. I can't remember if it's him or Milan. Who made the point of sort of a mental reset here. Take your mind off of hockey and relax for a couple of days from that aspect. That'll be important for this group who's been so, so busy of late.
You know, it's really important. You know, no matter what you do for a living, when you're in the middle of, you know, an incredible grind like they have, now they wouldn't trade it for a second because they're in the best spot you could be in their division and in their conference. But it's a lot, and it's been a lot. And the way this team has to play to win takes a toll. It's not, you know, they don't necessarily have the types of weapons that, you know, you can be having a tough night and you get 2 great shifts from, you know, a high-end guy, and they have a high-end line right now, but the high-end line even has done the job because they're checking better than they have, and they have one of the best two-way centers, in my opinion, in the sport, in Elias Lindholm. So it's not an easy brand to play. It requires a lot of intelligence. It requires a lot of effort. It requires a lot of attention to detail. So, yeah, they deserve it. They deserve it. It'll be interesting to see, you know, when you're going so good, it's like you don't want a break, but they need one.
Lou, thanks as always for the time, my friend. Great job on the call last night. It was good to see you in person today. We'll do this again for the rest of the week as we get set for the Flames and the Jets on Saturday, and maybe a chance for us to dive in a little deeper on some of the standouts for the Flames this week. We'll have a chat with you again tomorrow.
Okay, that sounds like a great idea. And you know what? You guys continue to be good together in there, okay?
We'll do our best. Thanks, Lou.
Okay, bye, guys.
Flames Insider, Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group, now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Peter Loubardias joins us every day on the program, usually at 12 o'clock. We had some office things that we needed to get done today, so we had to move Lou around a little bit, but he'll be back on the program in his usual slot at 12 noon going forward. Always appreciate the time to chat with Lou. Great to get his insight. He's been around the game for so long, and he's always got a great perspective on it, so really appreciate that. He joins us every single day, and on Fridays we do something special with Lou. It's called What Does Lou Say, one of the best contests going. If you want a pair of Lore Bowl tickets to an upcoming Flames game and a $200 gift card to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, all you got to do, head to sportsnet.ca/960, go to the contest tab, you'll see a picture of Lou, says, what does Lou say, give us your first, last name, some other information, ask Lou a question, make sure it's time, you know, I don't want to say evergreen, but make sure it's relevant, you know, if it's, you know, something that is a couple weeks old, it's kind of hard to choose that question, so try to pick something that Lou can answer on a Friday, and if we pick your question, Lou answers it, you're winning those tickets to an upcoming Flames game in the Lore Bowl and $200 to spend at our friends at Ruth Chris Steakhouse. Every Friday we do that. Another edition of What Does Lou Say? We'll come back on the other side, take a look at a busy NHL schedule, and Riley, I almost forgot about it, but I didn't. We have tickets for Dierks Bentley to give away. We'll do that next when the final segment of Sportsnet Today returns here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Back to Sportsnet Today on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The latest from Dierks Bentley, the multi-platinum singer and songwriter. Beers on Me, and part of the Dierks Bentley Beers on Me tour that starts on January 6th in London, Ontario. Going to be swinging by the Scotiabank Saddle Dome Thursday, January 20th. We've had pairs of tickets to give away all week. You know how we do it here on Sportsnet Today. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I handle it. Tuesday, Thursdays, Riley handles it. You went trivia again yesterday, Riley. You've been tough on the... No giveaways for Riley.
Now you got to earn these Dierks Bentley tickets.
You're a big Dierks guy. You're not going to let him down on this one. So this is his latest one. I like it quite a bit. I'm going to give you some Dierks Bentley trivia if you want the tickets today. Been around country music for a very long time, Dierks has been. So if you want today's pair of tickets, you got to tell me what year he released his first self-titled debut album with the single What Was I Thinking? Where it reached number one on the U.S. Billboard Hot Country Songs chart. With your first and last name on the text at 960-960. What year did Dierks Bentley release his self-titled debut album with the single What Was I Thinking on it? The year and your first and last name on the text at 960-960. Somebody already, I don't know, is that a bribe to Riley? Or just someone talking about donaires? Just says Jimmy's AA Deli rocks for donaires and authentic Mediterranean food.
I'll have to take their word for it. Haven't had it before.
So So one more time for those Dierks Bentley tickets, the pair of tickets to go see him in January, part of the Beers on Me tour. What year did Dierks release his first self-titled debut album with the single What Was I Thinking on it? That reached number one on the U.S. Billboard's Hot Country Songs charts. Year and your first and last name. Busy night on the NHL schedule tonight, Riley. Well, we get some of those answers in at 960-960. We'll pick a winner before the end of the segment. Your Montreal Canadiens back in action on Sportsnet 1. 5 o'clock puck drop. You like their chances tonight, Riley, against the Caps?
No, but I like Ovi's chances at a Hattie for some reason tonight, which is fine by me. Give him all the goals.
Could be a good night for Connor McDavid and company after that loss against Dallas last night. Connor's point streak ended at 17 games. They have an 8 o'clock puck drop on Sportsnet West against the 4-13-2 Arizona Coyotes. Do you like the odds of Connor getting a point tonight?
Yes. I sure do.
Coyotes better. Still awful. Still a really bad hockey team, Riley. Sens and Sharks. Sens another four-win team. They're on the West Coast taking on San Jose. 8:30 puck drop. Maple Leafs, Kings. Maple Leafs also out west. Both Ontario teams out west. Leafs are taking on the Kings. That one an 8 o'clock puck drop. Battle of New York tonight at 5:30. Rangers, Islanders. The Jets will occupy Sportsnet West at 5 o'clock tonight. They're taking on the Blue Jackets. How about the Blue Jackets, Riley? 10-6 on the year. One of the more quiet storylines in this NHL season, I'd say.
The Blue Jackets always surprise me, Logo. It seems every year they get decimated by all their best players leaving. And they find a way to win. And they find a way to make it to the playoffs. Their best guys phase out. They go to Florida. They go to the Rangers. And still Columbus hangs around and finds ways to win, Logo. It's just they find guys on cheaper deals. They find guys that want to stick around for a year or two and make it work. And that's how it's been for a long time.
And they're doing this with Patrick Laine, who's been out the last few weeks with a upper body injury. That trade hasn't worked out quite like they had hoped, although Laine was off to a better start this season.
Yeah, he was.
They're getting production. Oliver Bjorkstrand really taking over there. 18 points in 16 games. The Voracek move looks like a sneaky good ad from them. 15 points in 16 games. Just the one goal, though, 1-14. And one player that I know a lot of Flames fans were hoping for back in the draft, Cole Sillinger, who surprised a lot of people. We talked to Sam Cosentino a couple weeks ago, Riley, and he wasn't sure if Cole Sillinger was a guy that could jump right to the NHL. Well, 16 games in, he's got 8 points, proving that he was able to make that jump right away into that team.
Yeah, I was really hoping that he would be on this team here in Calgary. As got to watch him for quite a bit of his life come up through the hockey ranks as a Regina boy, but didn't make it, and making the best of it in Columbus so far, and I'm sure he will only get better as it goes on, as I wasn't expecting him to make that opening night lineup, Logo. I was with a lot of people, but here we are.
No, and look, I'm always the proponent of, you know, I mean, you saw the Ducks do that with Mason McTavish. He got his look with the team. If you think he's close, absolutely give him that time. But, I mean, if he's ready, he's ready. There's just no other way about it. If you make the, you know, understanding as an organization that he is 100% ready to go and you're confident that he can maintain it for the season, go for it. We've seen this a lot. In Calgary, we've seen that. So, some of the texts at 960-960. Riley, you and I think a lot. I like the odds of an Ovi hat trick very high tonight.
Yeah, it's bet the house on it, boys.
Is it Primo in net tonight?
No, it'll be Jake Allen coming back from a concussion tonight.
Have fun with that one, Jake.
Yeah, they asked him about how you stop Alex Ovechkin, and he said, I think if anyone figured that out by now, they'd have a Nobel Prize. So clearly he's a little intimidated by Alex Ovechkin.
Not wrong. I did want to mention this today. The Flames off. They'll be back at practice tomorrow. But in case you missed it, they did announce that Walker Duehr sent back down to AHL Stockton. Could be a couple of things, as our friend Ryan Pike from Flames Nation noted. With 3 days off, could just be accumulating cap savings. Could also mean that perhaps Brett Ritchie's getting closer to a return. Been a while since we saw Brett in that fight against Mark Gorbietsky at home against the Nashville Predators. Bit of a scary situation there. Looked like he might have twisted up his leg a bit in that fight.
Yeah, I'm thinking some sort of high ankle sprain has been the reason, but they haven't really said it. But it looked pretty nasty on the old leg there at one point. Do you think he comes in for a Pitlick, a Richardson? Where do you think he lines up if he comes back into this lineup? Because I think Richardson's been pretty decent on that fourth line.
I don't
center.
Think it's the fourth line. I think it'll be for Pitlick if he does.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
Yeah, Pitlick, it just hasn't flowed well for me. I just haven't liked it. He's a good skater. He checks hard. But offensively, there's just been next to nothing really going there. I don't think he's had great chemistry in the offensive zone with many of his guys. Or many of his line mates, I guess. I wouldn't be opposed to trying Richie in that spot when he comes back, if he's healthy. If that's what the indication is, that he's closer to coming back. Especially after the game that Richardson line had last night, Riley. I'm in no position to want to change anything up like that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've liked Richardson coming in. He's done his job.
And now we're gonna switch things up. So a busy NHL schedule tonight. Full list of games. You can go to sportsnet.ca and check your local listings. This was a big topic last night that I seen a lot of people buzzing about, good and bad. Riley, teams are starting to unveil their jerseys for the 2022 Olympic Games. And jerseys are always a polarizing topic. The United States unveiled theirs today to mixed reaction. And I would say that Canada's reveal yesterday was probably met with the same mixed reaction. Did you see the jerseys?
I sure did. I like the white ones.
White one's great.
I hate the black maple leaf on the red jersey. I
hate.
Think, yeah, it's the worst of the three. Yeah, no, I don't like that one at all.
Text line 960-960. If you saw the Hockey Canada jersey unveil last night, thoughts? The one thing I don't get in it, Riley, and the black jersey was okay for me. It's a bit Carolina Hurricanes with the sort of grayish shoulders that I didn't love. It was okay. I usually like the black Canada jersey a lot. This one's not my favorite. What I don't understand on the red jersey is Canada not red and white?
Yeah,
like those
like
are our, we're not red and black.
It has always been
the third color.
In the jersey, and it's our extra jersey. But yeah, I just don't get the black maple leaf on the red jersey. It hurts my eyes a little bit, to be honest with you. I think it should be the white maple leaf on the red jersey and a red or white one on the black jersey. Like, it's kind of like a black maple leaf on the black jersey with a red outline as well. I don't know. I like the white one with the red leaf on it. The other two, a bit more matte on.
I saw the ones for Finland. They're nice. Pretty classic. The U.S. one is weird to me. Have you seen the United States ones?
I have. They have someone on the text line.
Two blue ones.
Yeah. Someone on the text line asks why they have two blue jerseys, and I can't give you an answer. Don't love those ones either. The Finland ones are by far the best out of all three.
They're really nice.
Yeah.
They're really nice. Now, I don't think it's hard to, I think it's hard to beat the sort of World Junior style American jersey that they brought out a couple of years ago with the USA diagonal there, with the red and blue striping and the blue shoulders. Those are some of my favorites. And for Canada, for me, it's hard to beat the 2010 Olympic jerseys. Those ones, I think, are as good as it gets.
Those are real nice. Yeah.
The American ones don't make any sense to me. You've got the navy blue and then, I guess, what is that, a royal blue? But they keep the navy striping the same on all three of the jerseys. The striping's a little different on the royal blue one, on the arms. And what is that font?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure about them.
Could have mixed in a red one there. I've been okay with that.
Well, do you need three jerseys?
Yes.
For a possible 10 games? I don't know. Does every country... Did Finland have three or just the two?
I think Finland just had the two.
Yeah. So, like, why... I don't know why the Americans would need a third one.
Well, I think because we're probably in the two biggest markets for selling jerseys. That'd be my guess.
Yeah. And, like, Canada's had the black third jersey for quite a while, so it kind of makes sense with them.
Yeah, it's still better than the yellow mustardy jersey that they've had for,
yeah,
for a while. It's just not great. Canada's had some really good ones, and they're just sort of, eh. Like you said, the white one's great. The red and white is classic. Why does the red jersey have a black maple leaf and no white on it?
Yeah, I don't love them.
Some of the text lines. Thoughts. Larry says, white okay, but the rest are yuck. Dude, I love the back. Imagine Man Japani's name on the back. Yeah, the black one's not bad. Like,
it's not terrible.
It's not bad. It's just they've done better ones than that.
Yeah. Usually the black one's my favorite of the three.
And I'm sorry. I think for Canada, the gold standard, it's kind of a... I kind of like the cockiness of having a bit of a gold outline in there somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah, those were right around the back-to-back World Junior golds, weren't they?
Yeah. Even the Sochi ones. You know, the maple leaf had a little gold outline on it.
Yeah.
I like that.
And I believe they're not allowed to use the actual Hockey Canada logo, right?
They're not.
In the Olympics? So that's why... The World Junior ones, in my opinion, are better, but they get to use Hockey Canada, so it's different.
Someone says, why three jerseys? Money, 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 money.
Yeah.
Someone agreeing with me, and this is the one I'm talking about, the 2018 World Junior USA Outdoor Bills theme jersey.
Those are nice.
By far the best USA jersey, yeah.
Someone telling us to get over it, it's just a jersey. I will be over it. I'm going to watch them no matter what, but I'm allowed to say that they're ugly, and I am saying that they're ugly.
Yeah, there's plenty of people that enjoy talking about it, so...
Yeah, jersey talk is a big part of sports.
Beat it.
Like, if they were, I don't know, orange, I'm sure that guy would have a different opinion on it.
World Junior jerseys are way nicer. The World Juniors get to use the Canada logo, though.
Yeah.
So... This one, holy crap, just looked at the jerseys. The only good one is the white one. Does not look like a maple leaf. Looks like a cannabis leaf. We know it's legal here now. I won't comment on that. But I did see somebody say that it doesn't actually resemble a maple leaf.
No. I'm with whoever said that.
Speaking of jerseys, do you know why the Flames haven't been wearing Blasty this year? Unfortunately, and I hate this decision, reverse retros were a one-year-only thing. Now, they may come back in later years as perhaps an alternate or something like that, but as far as we were told, the reverse retros were a one-year-only thing, which I think is incredibly stupid.
Yeah, why can't teams have three jerseys?
Well, there was no fans last year. Nobody got to see them anyways. You got to see them on TV. The Flames didn't wear Blasty in front of anybody. You couldn't have extended it another year?
Or just let teams wear jerseys that they want to.
Yeah, but some of them sucked.
Yeah, so then don't
the
wear them.
Red one sucked.
Don't wear them.
I guess.
Like, why can't it be more like the NBA where it's like, they have seven different jerseys in a year. Maybe they don't have to go that far, but, I mean, it makes money, doesn't it? To have different jerseys, have different themes. I mean, but talk about ugly jerseys. That New Jersey Devils one logo, whew. The black one that just says Jersey
That's
on
really
it.
Really stupid.
Come on.
And did you see them on Twitter yesterday leaning into
that
the,
was funny.
The hat thing?
That was funny.
Is it too late to change the jerseys? The Leaf is terrible. How do they decide that's what they're wearing? They do it every year. They try to change it up.
Is it back to Nike this year, too?
It is Nike this year. But Nike's been in the Olympics for a while.
Oh, okay.
I believe Nike has had the Canada contract for a while, because Sochi, it was Nike.
Well, they did better in Sochi. Back to the drawing board for the next one, guys. We'll deal with these ones for now.
Trying to remember, trying to go through, which I'm 99% sure the Vancouver ones were Nike.
Those ones were, I really liked the ones in Vancouver.
The Vancouver ones were some of the best.
Yeah.
With the detail in the maple leaf, the simple red and white look, a little bit of the gold trim. There's just too much going on here with these ones that isn't, I just don't understand. Again, I don't understand why a red jersey lacks any white on it when Canada's red and white.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me.
Now, it doesn't bother me as much because, like I said, the U.S. ones kind of stink. Again, the white one, okay, but the rest of them, yeah. I like the New Jersey jerseys. Nope.
That's, we will agree to disagree.
Not cool. I think you could just do better than that.
Yeah, it just says Jersey on it, and it's black and white. And, like, the fans of the Devils have been begging for a black jersey alternate for so long, and then that's what they get.
Well, I believe they said it's the first jersey they've ever used that doesn't have the Devils logo on it. Some people don't like that. I just think it's a poor design.
Yeah.
I guess I should pick a winner for those.
You should, yeah.
Those tickets. The show is almost over. I did ask you at the beginning of the segment what year Dierks Bentley's self-entitled debut album with the number one single, What Was I Thinking, came out. Answer 2003. 2003, so he's been around for a while. Still kicking it in 2022 with the new album. Congratulations to Linda. Linda got the right answer. Texted in. No applause for Linda. You're going to leave me hanging like that?
Good job, Linda.
There you go. Our promotions team will be in touch. Riley will have tomorrow's tickets for you. So get your bribery in now. And start thinking of different ways that you can convince Riley to give you the tickets. Because as we know, if it's your birthday or some other way, Riley is highly susceptible to those sort of bribes. Yeah, there you go, Riley.
Thank you.
Thanks to Peter Lombardius for joining us on the program today. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll start getting a look at the Calgary Stampeders and Saskatchewan Roughriders on Sunday. We'll have Lou back at his regular time at noon. We'll also be joined by Danny Austin of Post Media. Get you a Stampeders look ahead of their game against the Riders on Sunday. Big show coming up next. They got lots on the program today. Don't want to miss our NHL insider. Frank Saravelli going to join the guys at 2:30. Andy McNamara with Ask Andy. I was going to say what you want to say, but that's not true. Ask Andy with Will coming up at 3 o'clock. And Mitch Love, head coach of the Stockton Heat, going to join the boys about 3:45. I'll be back at 4 o'clock for headlines. Thank you to Riley, as always. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition of Sportsnet Today here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.